Welcome to the WBFO Press Pass, our weekly news analysis with regional reporters and editors. I'm Mark Scott, and this week we welcome Bruce Andriatz, suburban editor of the Buffalo News. Thanks for coming in.
Absolutely, Mark. Good to be here.
Well, Tuesday is Election Day, and the marquee race is the one for Erie County Executive, pitting incumbent Republican Chris Collins against Democratic challenger Mark Poloncarz. This is a race between two candidates who really are quite different. You know, Collins focused on limited government, while Poloncarz sees a more expansive role for government.
Right. As you said, anybody who can't pick a side in this one just doesn't really care one way or the other, because I can't think of a time that we've had two candidates who are so different on so many issues. I mean, certainly the idea that Collins, and I think he's followed through on what he said he was going to do 4 years ago. He wants to run county government like a business, and a lot of people say he's run it in a way that's almost cold, that he is running it like a business, all about the bottom line. Certainly there's a lot of support in the community for that, but Poloncarz, based on everything he said and everything he says he will do if he becomes county executive, does see government playing a much bigger role. I mean, everything from the biggest issue, which, you know, I think most people would say is where our tax dollars are going to go, kind of in a macro sense, down to things that typically we've thought of as very small local issues. I know this week one of the things that we had asked them about was rodent control, which is not something that you're used to hearing county executive candidates talk about, but it's a product of what Collins has decided to do. He doesn't want the county in the very small micro problem business. He wants to think of the bigger issues and keep tax rates down. But Poloncarz does have a different vision, so it will be a clear decision on Tuesday for voters.
One of the issues brought up, job creation, and I'm wondering, does any county executive, whether it's a Republican or Democrat, have any input into the number of jobs that are created in a community?
Yeah, I think that's a fair question. I mean, I think that's certainly a debate that's held at the federal level now when we talk about what the president and Congress can do about the national economy. I'm not sure there is really much of anything. I mean, certainly the county executive can determine what happens to county employees, and I think Chris Collins has had an effect on that. But in terms of what's going to happen within the community, you know, you look at our tax bill in Erie County, most of our taxes, of the tax pie, most of that money is going to school districts. The county is pretty far down on the food chain in terms of where our money goes. So I don't think any kind of reduction in taxes we pay at the county level is somehow going to lead to any sort of job creation. I'm a little bit of a skeptic in that regard anyway, that somehow we're going to create jobs by either cutting or raising taxes. So, no, I think the answer to that question is don't look to the county executive to have more jobs in the next 4 years.
The case has been made that Collins is hoping a strong suburban turnout will pave his way to re-election, while Poloncarz needs a similarly strong turnout in the city to win. Is that a fair assessment of looking at this race?
I think that based on what has happened, it certainly appears that way. I know that no one is willing to admit that what's happening in the city is any kind of calculated effort to keep the vote totals down, but you look at the information provided by the Board of Elections about who's running for what this year, and it is stark to realize that every seat on the Common Council is up for re-election, and there is no opposition in one race. You know, candidates running unopposed is not uncommon. It happens all the time. But to see a city the size of Buffalo not have one person willing to run against an incumbent is, as I said, it's stark. And I think that you'd have to be, you know, really stretching the truth to say that was not some sort of effort to keep the vote totals down. Now, conversely, I don't think that the fact that there are some very high-profile races in the suburbs is any kind of effort on the part of either side to get the vote out. I think that's the way it's played out this year. But certainly, from a cynical standpoint, what's happening in the city is a little bit disconcerting.
It's interesting. The other day, a fellow at the YMCA asked me, because he knows I'm well connected, are there races in the city of Buffalo this year? And my initial reaction was, no, I don't think so. And then I'm sitting there getting dressed, and I said, no, wait, the primary was about some races in the Common Council. So, yeah, they are going before voters next week in the general election. It's just that there's no competition.
Exactly. I think the only race in the city is for a judge's position, mm-hmm. and there's a contest there. But otherwise, no, as I said, it's stunning, and it's hard to believe that. Again, it stretches the bounds of credulity to think that there wasn't some sort of effort to make sure that happened.
Well, this conversation was recorded on Friday prior to a final Siena Research Institute poll on this race. But in the last poll a month ago, it was extremely close. On Friday, Governor Andrew Cuomo came to town to endorse Poland Cars. I'm wondering, how important are political endorsements? I mean, I don't remember ever going to the poll saying, gee, the governor supported this candidate, I'm voting for him.
Yeah, I wonder that myself. I mean, certainly the Cuomo name means something to a lot of Democrats in New York State and certainly in Erie County. I don't think it hurts, but I guess anybody who was waiting to make their decision based on this would, again, not be paying real close attention. Is Cuomo really going to endorse the Republican in Erie County? I'm sure that their relationship is cordial, as it has to be, between county executive and governor, but I think he wouldn't be much of a governor if he didn't endorse the Democrat in this case, as a Democratic governor.
Well, let's look at some of the high-profile suburban races you mentioned. In Lancaster, incumbent Democrat Robert Gysa is being challenged by Republican Dino Fidoli, who is now a county legislator. Mm-hmm. Will Fidoli's past of abusing drugs, as was revealed last week in the Buffalo News, will that be a significant factor in this race?
That is the question going into Tuesday in Lancaster. This was a very standard suburban town supervisor race up until that revelation. And all signs pointed to a question between, are Lancaster voters happy with Bob Gysa, who has been working for them as an elected official for 30 years, which is on its face incredible? Do they want to maintain the status quo, or do they want to bring in somebody a little younger with a little kind of different perspective on things? But the fact that that story came out and Fidoli acknowledged that he had a drug habit a few years ago, I don't think is going to play well with a lot of voters. There are people who see that and think, do I want my elected official, something of a role model, to be somebody who's got that kind of background? And let's be honest, also, Mr. Fidoli was not smoking marijuana, which I think people might look at one way. He was using heroin, as he admitted. And I think that's going to create a problem in the minds of some voters. Whether it should or not is a fair question. It was a long time ago. He has said that, look, this is who he was. It's something he overcame. From that standpoint, there's a little bit of an inspirational tone to it. But the reality is that it's going to be on voters' minds, and it's going to be hard for Fidoli to overcome the image of him as drug user in the minds of people who maybe are not paying close attention to every issue.
There's also a spirited contest for West Seneca Town Supervisor, where incumbent Wallace Petrowski faces a stiff challenge from town board member Sheila Meegan. Now, they're both Democrats. Meegan beat Petrowski in the September primary. He now has the Republican line. Both seem to be taking credit for the same accomplishments.
Yeah. Well, it's West Seneca is one of the town boards here that Kevin Gaughan successfully downsized to three. So there's not a lot of credit or blame to go around in West Seneca whenever something happens. But I will say that in looking at the coverage of West Seneca over the past couple of years, their relationship has become more and more adversarial as time has gone by, and they take every opportunity to point out a flaw or a problem in the other one's background. Having said that, you know, looking at what they've done and looking at what they promised, there is not a huge difference about between these two candidates. I think people in West Seneca might be hard-pressed to see this race the way that people see Poland Cars and Collins. They are from the same political background. I think this is a question of personality and, again, a question of, do people want a change at the top, which, you know, given the climate of politics today, given the climate of the economy, I think can be a very compelling election message.
There's also a race in Clarence, where Scott Bielski is facing a re-election campaign. Now, I don't live in Clarence, so I'm not as knowledgeable about that race as I should be in asking this question. What I know of him is the way he responded after the crash of Flight 3407. And will that be one of the issues in this race?
Absolutely. That's not a small matter. I mean, it's not this is not a town supervisor going out and assessing the damage after Ellicott Creek floods. This was maybe the seminal moment in Western New York in the past 50 years. And Scott Bielski did respond very well to it. I think that anybody who saw what happened there would look at the response in the town very favorably. I mean, it quickly became something that was well beyond the scope of anything that a town could handle. But everyone from volunteer firefighters right up through the elected officials in the town of Clarence, I think, did everything they could to make that the after effects of 3407 as smooth as they could possibly be. You know, a difficult situation, they made it a little bit less so. In that election, what's interesting is the name that people will be thinking of when they go to the polls, somebody who just kind of reemerged last week as a candidate in Joe Weiss. Joe Weiss has been a councilman in Clarence for years, and he lost big in the primaries. His name was still on the ballot, but he made the very unusual decision, which in my experience I've never heard of before, to spend $25,000 in the last week of the election on advertising. He's got the money. He's very well off, as he will tell anybody. And I think the name Joe Weiss will hang heavy over that election on Tuesday. But what it comes down to, I think, is in Clarence, which among every community in Western New York, you'd be hard-pressed to find one that has a better reputation, that has grown as much as it has in the past 10 to 20 years. I think it would be easy for people to assign that success to the current administration. And I think in a community that's doing well, that doesn't have huge problems, it's tough to imagine Scott Bielewski losing on Tuesday.
You would think the same thing in Orchard Park, a growing community. But just last week, there was a high-profile demonstration by police officers against cuts to the police department. At issue is reduced spending in the overall town budget in Orchard Park. And who is right here in your assessment of what's going on in Orchard Park?
Well, that's a good question. You know, generally speaking, I think that you look at the way that our local governments are set up in Erie County. And I think any objective observation of staffing, of the way that we do business here, anybody would have to reason that, look, we can probably make do with fewer of certain things and less service in certain areas. The duplication in Erie County between towns and among towns is incredible. But the problem always happens when you step in and say, we are going to make a change here in our community. We want to be the ones. And in Orchard Park, they are talking about doing things to their police department, a very difficult issue, and people become passionate about it very quickly. Now, Orchard Park is not a crime-ridden community by any means, but people who support the police would say, well, part of the reason for that is because we have our police department looking out for us. What's interesting in Orchard Park, I find, is that they're doing this not in the face of some double-digit tax increase proposal. Orchard Park's budget is keeping spending in line with what other communities do. But the officials there have decided that this is a time that we can make a change. We have an opportunity to save some money. Let's do it. That it's being done in Orchard Park where, let's be realistic, a lot of people are not super concerned about money is interesting. And I don't have a good answer about why it's happening other than, and I always say this is implausible, but perhaps the government is just looking out for what's best in the community and has decided that something can be done here.
We're going to conclude with a personal note. You ran a marathon.
Yes,
now,
I did.
And you did a column on it last week. I'm a runner, but the most I can do is a 5K. I can't imagine running 26.2 miles.
Yeah,
tell me what it was like.
it was as painful as you would imagine. It was, I never thought of myself as a runner. I guess once you run a marathon, you can do that, and I will from now on proudly say that I'm a runner. But I just wanted to try it. I wanted to see if I could do it. My father has run 11 marathons, and he's going to be 70 years old next year. He's been an inspiration to me from afar for a long time. I never had any interest in literally following in his footsteps that way. But as I got older, I thought, you know, this is something I'd like to try. And against all odds, I found out that I loved running. I don't know what happened, but I did. And I think once you decide to start running, as a runner, you think, there's that thing in the distance. There is a marathon. Should I try to do it? And I decided that I would give it a try, and I'm thrilled that I did. And I'll tell you, I said this to my friend and colleague, Matt Glynn, who is an elite runner in Western New York. When you hear about the wall that people talk about at 20 miles, that's a real thing. I hit that, and I wasn't sure that I was going to make it the rest of the way. And but I don't know. Part of it is also the idea that by doing something like this, I hope that to my children in particular, I say, look, life is full of problems. Life is full of obstacles. If your father at age 47 could run a marathon, the sky's the limit for you. You can do anything. So that's basically it.
I laughed out loud in reading the column.
Well, thank you.
When you got towards the end and you got cranky.
A little bit.
The lady cheering you on.
Yeah.
You know?
The last thing I wanted to hear was only 4 miles to go. I said, yeah, you run 4 miles after running 22, lady, and see how you feel about it.
Bruce, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Mark. Good to be here.
Bruce Andrianch is suburban editor of the Buffalo News. I'm Mark Scott, WBFO News.